Ryan, 10 for 15 in the game. Throwing it deep for Ridley. He's got it. Breaks the tackle. And it's going all the way. Touchdown. Putting on a show.
Salutations, all. Welcome to this edition of Forward Pass Thinking Audio Content. I'm your host, as always, John Drews. I'm joined by Chris Wessling. Chris Wessling, how the heck are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for doing this. We can now mark down two of the heroes from the Around the NFL podcast. You want to make sure you check out all of Chris's work at NFL.com. Can I call you Wes? Is that fine with you?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like, and let me know if you feel like the same, I get people that tweet me kind of, it feels like mid-conversation, and I think it's because they think that we're friends. You know, they spend an hour a week with us, in your case, like 3 hours a week. Do you find that people who listen to the podcast just like feel like they're your friend already?
Yeah, I think it probably depends on a case-by-case basis, but that certainly happens where, you know, yeah, the nicknames will come out and the familiarity will be there. And yeah, I think that is kind of a normal thing.
Yeah. So I have some familiarity with you for listening to the show three times a week. I think this first topic, I think you're in alignment with me. I don't understand why anybody would be rooting against Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think Jameis Winston has shown his hand in the NFL, and Fitzpatrick is fun to watch. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, Jameis Winston is 18 and 27 in 3 years, and the Bucs have rarely been relevant. I think they drafted Jameis Winston to do what Ryan Fitzpatrick has just done for 3 weeks, to have a stretch like that, to make the Bucs fun to watch, to get the fan base and the teammates riled up and ready to go. And to me, like most evaluations of Jameis Winston seem to be what he could be in the future. They're not really what he is now or what he has been in the past, and that's a pretty mediocre quarterback. So, yeah, keep going with Fitz.
Yeah, we're definitely in the production versus potential discussion with Winston at this point. But another part of that discussion is a lot of people think that they need to play Winston to see what they have. But if you're Dirk Cotter, you're holding on for dear life at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, every game is well on its way to deciding what's going to be his future after this year. I feel like we have 45 games of Jameis Winston to evaluate. I feel like that's probably enough. At this point, it should be about winning.
Yeah, I completely agree. You have Ronnie Dangerfield as your profile picture on Twitter. What's your favorite Ronnie Dangerfield joke?
Good question. I found that picture the day I signed up for Twitter. I think I was still at Roto World and going through newspapers and saw this shoot he did before he died. So that just always stuck out to me. I think I've only ever seen him in Back to School.
Mm-hmm.
That might be like the only Rodney Dangerfield movie I've even seen.
Can I tell you my favorite joke? I think it was from one of his I saw it on YouTube. I think it was from one of his sets on The Tonight Show. Do you want to hear this joke?
Yes, absolutely.
My wife loves to talk after sex, so she often calls me from her hotel room. I butchered it. It's better when he does it.
Gotcha. Okay,
or
yeah.
My kid kept pestering my wife to see the father, so she took him to the butcher. I don't know. You know what? I'm not
yeah,
a comedian.
That
I guess
sounds like yeah. I don't know if Rodney Dangerfield could come along in 2018.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. You definitely wouldn't get any respect nowadays. All right, that's my last joke.
Yeah.
I'm infatuated with Baker Mayfield. I think some people are telling me to pump the brakes, but I'm all in, especially with Antonio Callaway. I think he hits the slant route like Odell Beckham. I think these two could be the next big thing in the NFL. Am I a little overzealous here?
No, I don't think so. That's been my impression of him since the first time I saw him in preseason action. This guy just seems like a natural. There's some a little bit of Brett Favre to his game, I think.
Yep.
Certainly personality wise. I love the fit. I like his accuracy, his release. To me, like, if you're a Browns fan, this has to be an especially fun time.
Yeah. I'm sure your buddy Mark Susser is on cloud nine, right?
He is, and I'm going to keep encouraging it because, you know, like you said, Baker does seem like the real deal, and this is what, like, you go all through the bad times for, you know, for times like now and whatever the next month will bring, and hopefully it brings the best kind of success to see what those Browns, I mean, this team, it seems like the turnaround is just around the corner, so let's do it.
Yeah. Do you think Pat Mahomes is a space alien?
I don't know what Pat Mahomes is. I don't even know who I would compare him to.
It's almost like it's a little it's almost like if you put Russell Wilson and maybe Brett Favre in a blender, maybe.
Yeah, it feels a little high praise for 3 weeks,
yeah.
But we'll
yeah,
see.
That's true.
I mean, but talent wise it's so fun to watch, and you mix sort of like that, the Andy Reid level execution with Patrick Mahomes' talent, and then all of the skill position talent that you have at his disposal, and I guess like that's why we're seeing the records go down.
Yeah, before last season kicked off, I was kind of talking about Tyreek Hill, and I kept saying like I think he's going to be Antonio Brown level. This is going to be the beginning of Tyreek Hill. Do you think I was maybe a year early, or do you think he's ever going to ascend that high?
To me, it's like a different sort of receiver. Like,
okay,
and I don't know if he'll ever have the receptions that Antonio Brown has, but he's a much bigger big play threat. He seems like to me, it seems like more like Steve Smith in his prime. The explosiveness, the run after catch ability. Like, to me, that's a little bit more like 2004 Steve Smith, but I don't know if you're ever going to see like 120 receptions out of him.
Yeah, I guess he has other ways to impact the game. He'll be getting more rushing yards and, well, not really punt returns because Antonio Brown does that too. So, hey, I have an interesting one for you. I live here in the Chicago media market, and a lot of my friends will ask me about Mitch Trubisky, and I've been telling them since last, I don't know, I think they played the Lions last year on New Year's Eve. I could be wrong. But starting then, I said that Mitch Trubisky has fear in his eyes. Do you think that Mitch Trubisky has fear in his eyes? What do you think is going on with that kid?
I haven't been able to read him. Like, I was really excited about him, but I think it was more about his ability to improvise and make plays. When he has to run around, that he's a much better athlete than people think. But he also seems like, unless the play's breaking down, he's not going to make a play. Like, if he stands behind center, he's not making plays. And it's a little bit like Marcus Mariota, that he seems to do his best when he's on the run and when he's, mm-hmm. like, making something out of chaos. Like, Mitch Trubisky just seems like, unless he's rolling out or unless he's escaping pressure, he's not giving us much.
A lot of people have said that the Bears are kind of set the way the Eagles were last year. They have the rookie, or they have the quarterback on the rookie deal. I don't know if Mitch is that guy or not, but do you have any thoughts on the kind of fundamental? Or how about this? Would you rather, if you're rooting for a team? I know you're a football agnostic, but if you're rooting for a team, would you rather have the veteran quarterback, or would you rather have a guy on a rookie deal with the team around him? Like, would you rather have Drew Brees' setup or the Bears' setup?
I would, in this specific instance you're talking about, I'd rather have the Drew Brees setup just because I have confidence that he's the guy, whereas mm-hmm. with Trubisky, there's still a chance that he goes bust. Ideally, you'd have Carson Wentz, I think. Like, to yeah. me, that's why at this time last year we were thinking he might be the most valuable asset in the NFL. And then he hurt his ACL. But I think that, like, if you have that young guy who you know, and there's no doubt whatsoever, you always go with the young guy. But, like, to me, something like Dak Prescott, do we know he's an asset? He might just be a really mediocre quarterback.
Yeah, I wish I remembered the stat, but there was something like he's only had I think it was like 11 200-yard plus games or something. It's the sun's going down on Dak Prescott, it seems like. Hey, but they just played the Seahawks, and it kind of seems like they're in this in-between where Russell Wilson might not be exactly Drew Brees yet, and they're, you know, they just were coming off his rookie deal where they made hay while the sun was out. Well, you know, unless you count Super Bowl 49, but I'm not going to bring that up. What do you think about Earl Thomas showing up for Sundays and not practicing?
To me, it seems like a sort of natural response to a position he's put in where the NFL players can't get guaranteed contracts, so you have to protect your body. But the Seahawks also won't talk contract with him and give him a new contract, so he's taking it into his own hands and protecting his body. And to me, it's kind of, I don't want to say ingenious, but it's kind of like, oh, why didn't anybody think of this before? But it has to be, and able to get away with it in the locker room, you have to be a superstar. You have to be an all-pro, and he's been that guy. So I think it's sort of like a rare, perfect storm type of situation that we're seeing. It wouldn't surprise me if we see it from other superstars going forward, but I don't think you could be like a normal starter and get away with it.
Yeah, and I think Greg said on your podcast that Earl Thomas is the best player in Seahawks franchise history, and I think that has to be true. I texted one of my buddies about that, and he threw out Alex or Sean Alexander or that guy from the 70s or 80s. He was talking about Steve Largent. But I think we're saying Earl Thomas is the best in that franchise history, right?
Yeah, I kind of raised my eyebrows when Greg said that. The first guy I thought it was Cortez Kennedy, and then Kenny Easley.
Yeah.
Kenny Easley probably at this stage of his career was better than Earl Thomas. I mean, he got into the Hall of Fame on like a 6-year prime. So Defensive Player of the Year at least once, maybe twice. I don't know. But, I mean, he's up there. He's in the top 3 or 4 regardless. So, yeah, the point is he is that good.
Has there ever been a bigger indictment on practice than Earl Thomas?
Good question. It feels like Aaron Donald's right up there, like, yeah, to win Defensive Player of the Year last year after skipping, you know, all of training camp and then the first week, I think. Still wins Defensive Player of the Year. Then Khalil Mack this year sits out, and then he's a lot of people's, like, favorite for Defensive Player of the Year already.
Can I ask you kind of a clickbaity question? I think this is a good football question, though, too. So are you ready for this?
Okay.
If you're John Lynch, would you ever call Colin Kaepernick now that Jimmy G is down?
I probably would not. I understand why people think that you might, but I would want to see what I have in C.J. Beathard. And I also know that last time Colin Kaepernick was in San Francisco, he was benched twice for Blaine Gabbert, which is how all of this got started when he was on the bench at the beginning.
Yeah, I would have questions about his diet, too, because it seems like things really went downhill after he, I don't know if he was vegan or vegetarian or whatnot, but he lost all that weight, and I don't know, I'd be interested to see if he's in football shape. Hey, next week, I'm going to be interviewing Jeff Perlman, and you're reading his book, right?
Yeah, I'm sort of reading 3 or 4 different books, but that's one of the ones in the mix.
Anything stick out so far?
Nothing yet, but I'm probably only about 25 pages in, so, it's good. It's really good. There's nothing that, like, has raised my eyebrows yet.
Yeah, I can't wait to get a hold of that. So week one, we're all ready to go through the Belichick coaching tree. Quietly, Matt Patricia has a good game against the 49ers in week two, and then week three, he, you know, dethrones the Patriots. I guess the question here is, why do we love to overreact so much?
That's a good question. I think it's certainly exacerbated by social media, because the whole point of social media is to overreact, it seems like. And then I guess we are on a podcast 3 times a week, and we need something to talk about and something fresh. So the new guys, when they come in, they're automatically something to talk about, so we give it a little too much attention there anyway. I think it's also like part of the joy of being a sports fan is putting your opinion out there and making projection and what you think's going to happen. And after 2 weeks, you know, you're put on the spot. What do you think of Matt Patricia? And then you see kind of an uninspiring start, and you say, hey, maybe this is, you know, maybe this isn't working out. So I think it's a lot of guesswork and a lot of projection. amplified by the nature of social media.
You actually said something on the podcast recently that really stood out to me. You mentioned, or maybe it was on the Twitter live show that you guys do every Tuesday, but you said something about how so-or-so happens in prime time, so that's the gospel, or that was the gist of what you were saying. Do you ever find that frustrating?
Yeah.
Speak to that, please.
Yeah, it came up because of Blake Bortles, and I find it incredibly frustrating because he's exactly the kind of quarterback you have to watch every week to know who he is. That he can look like the answer to the Jaguars' prayers against the Patriots, and then the week before that, the second half was one of the most horrifying quarterback displays I've ever seen. And then again this week, he goes in to play against the Titans, nobody's watching, and his mechanics are a sloppy mess, like they are at least 60-70% of the games he plays, and he doesn't look like an NFL-level quarterback. But it doesn't matter because nobody watched it. It didn't happen in prime time. It didn't happen on national TV. So it's never going to be part of the process of evaluation.
Yeah, and I don't know, because a lot of people try to because I'll say something like, Derek Carr, he is a pedestrian, like, okay quarterback in the NFL. But if you ever say anything bad about him, people will throw in your face that he was an MVP candidate 3 years ago, as if that's something. I don't know. I'm just complaining about how it's frustrating that not everybody has the time to watch all the games on Game Pass.
It is frustrating, but, like, if you're not watching the games, you sort of don't get to speak with much authority. Like, you kind of have to defer to the people who are watching the games.
I have learned that that's how a lot of my Twitter conversations end, is I just announce that I watched all the snaps last year and all the snaps so far this year, and people usually back off.
Yeah.
I'm kind of out of stuff. I don't know. I did a bad job of writing this interview, I guess. So last week on Monday Night Football, Russell Wilson audibles out of three plays in a row. They're driving. It's late in the fourth. They're down by 7. Russell Wilson, or the Seahawks sideline, calls a timeout. Russell Wilson is the most visibly upset I've ever seen him on the football field. They go to an I formation. They pick up 1 yard. And at this point, Chris Carson's out of the game for some reason, which I just don't get it. It bewilders me. I don't understand it. And then they go to a formation that they ran against the Broncos. And Prince Amarkamua sees that, and he knows it from studying film, and he picks it off for a pick six, essentially ending the game. What I want to talk to you about is, so obviously, like, there have been the quiet rumors ever since Super Bowl 49 that, you know, Pete Carroll, blah, blah, blah. How incredible is it that the Patriots are still on this run with their core? I think that it's so easy to mock the Patriots and kind of, but it's so incredible. I don't understand how they're doing it.
Yeah, to me, when I think of what's going on there, like, so they have the best quarterback I've ever seen in Brady, and it's mm-hmm. not just that, like, at when he's at his best, he's the best, because I think that Aaron Rodgers at his best is probably the best I've ever seen, but just Brady's staying power, that he's there every year, and he's, like, the first ever developing quarterback I've ever seen. He just never stops developing year mm-hmm. after year. And then Gronk is the greatest tight end in history. And Belichick is the greatest coach, at least of the 21st century, if not in NFL history. So that's, to me, like, that's how rare it is. You've got three of the best to ever do what they've ever done.
I don't know if you can name drop us with some, was the person you're talking to, one of their best friends, but I was texting with Mark Sessler the Monday night after they got Josh Gordon, and I asked him if he thinks that Tom Brady, if Tom Brady is as good as he was in 2007, if that's even possible, as he is now. And he said he's physically the same and only that much smarter, only 10 years smarter. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't know if he's physically the same.
Because he might have lost something off his deep ball, but
yeah, I think he's not quite as good at the deep ball. But it seems to me like his pocket movement is getting better every year, and it seems weird to say that about a 41-year-old guy.
I sometimes laugh when I'm watching Game Pass. It's just the subtle moves he makes in the pocket that it seems like other quarterbacks can't do. I'm not an NFL quarterback, obviously, and I don't understand what's going through their mind, but the subtle moves he makes in the pocket are just uncomparable to the other 31 quarterbacks.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who's had, what, like 60,000 NFL snaps in his career. So all that has to, that all has to add up, and it's going to make you better, especially when you are relentlessly obsessed with improving. When you're going to work with Tom House and Adam Dado and all those guys every year to work on your throwing motion, your feet, your footwork, your mind, like, of course you're going to be better. Like, to me, like, he is so good because he is so obsessed with improving.
My one of my favorite things in the world is that an Irish Catholic is the greatest athlete of all time. It doesn't make sense, but somehow that's reality.
Well, I mean, well, let's calm down there. I didn't say the greatest athlete of all time.
The greatest sportsman?
Well, he's not Michael Jordan.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Us Irish Catholics have to have something. Let us have something, Wes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this. I had an absolute blast. Hopefully you had fun too. Chris Wessling on Twitter. Is it just Chris Wessling?
Just Chris Wessling.
The Around the NFL podcast comes out 3 times a month. I'm sure it's on all your podcast apps. 3 times a month, 3 times a week. What am I doing? All right. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Jandra's here still. I'm joined by Rossdog. Rossdog, say hi.
Yo.
Hey, I'm going to say something, and you can roll your eye. I feel like so the Spider-Man video game for the PS4, it was great. Okay. I loved it. Had a gay old time playing it. At comic book stores right now, you can go to your local comic book store and buy a comic book. It's called Spider-Gunon Zero. And it has the Spider-Man from that game. So it's not like it's that Spider-Man. Go buy a comic book, everybody. All right. That's it. How'd you feel about that?
I mean, my initial thought while you were speaking was, how many people do you think that are listening still have comic book stores in their area?
You'd be surprised. I drive past a comic book store to go to my comic book store because the comic book store closest to me has wronged me.
Planet?
Yeah, I don't go there anymore. And I'll be blurring their name. I'm censoring their name because they're not getting that free plug.
I feel like you've told the story about how they wronged you before on the podcast. So, and if not, you've certainly told me. But, okay, I do have one comment with this whole, like, comic book thing. I don't know how related it is. Maybe it's, like, tangentially related somehow. I don't know, but what's up with this Bowsette, right? Is that what it is? Bowsette?
So you know how in Super Mario Brothers Wii U Deluxe that's coming out to Switch next year? Toadette can turn into Peachette, right?
Right, when they put the crown on.
So Bowsette is Bowser with that crown on.
Oh, wow.
I think that's all we can say about it. It was trending on a popular website this morning that was brought to my attention. But yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm not going to say which popular website, but it's, I've never been there.
Probably Pornhub.
Ah, free plug. Okay. Hey, we're going to kick things off. Muy caliente. Very spicy.
Ooh, very hot.
Yeah. In this week's hot matchup of the week, it'll be 85 degrees this week, baby, in Los Angeles, where the Rams, who are favored by 7, will host the Minnesota Vikings, who just got punched in the mouth by Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. The Rams are down a couple of corners. Aqib Talib is done for the year on IR. Sam Shields, though, I think he played really well during the preseason. I think it's not that big of a letdown. Sam Shields is now your starting second corner. Man, I really love the Rams, I think. I don't like it when a team gets punched in the mouth and they quit. Because there was plenty of time for Kirk Cousins to get back in that game. He was careless with the ball. Also, Ross Doug, listen to this. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but I tweeted out, like, hey, I'm kind of surprised the media is giving Kirk Cousins a pass. He was sloppy with the ball. He was careless with the ball. And it led to two fumbles. And he, like, led to a hole he couldn't dig himself out of. And someone said, well, he wasn't careless with the ball. And I just sent them a video of Kirk Cousins being careless with the ball. I'm not taking no prisoners this year. I'm just setting videos.
I have a couple things around this, because this, if we're gonna jump right into my gambling head, this game scares the shit out of me, just because I think that a touchdown is not enough, but at the same time I feel like the only reason it's as low as a touchdown is because of what people saw the Vikings go through on Sunday. But I think that was like an outlier situation.
I have a little bit of a premonition for you. All right. We'll be texting probably Thursday Night Football. There'll be 6 minutes remaining on the clock in the fourth quarter. There'll be a shot of Mike Zimmer showing no expression, but you could tell like he's seething underneath. And the Vikings will be down by 17 points.
Wow. That's fair. I was wondering if you were going to say, like, yeah, they're totally, they're just.
I think it might be. I don't know. Again. Kirk Cousins, when his feet is held to the fire, he hasn't really shown that he's able to bounce back.
No, you're right. I think he's too small, too. I think Kirk Cousins is sneaky small. Like,
that's interesting. I don't have an opinion on that, but I'm going to look into that.
Okay, cool. What I want you to tell me, though, is the Rams' defense on par with their offense? Or because last year,
their offense isn't on par with their defense. Their defense.
You think their defense is better than their offense?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, interesting. I don't know.
I'm taking the Rams. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams, too.
Miami. The 3-0 Miami Dolphins travel to New England to face whatever wide receivers Tom Brady has at the moment. Is he getting Edelman back this week or next week? It's next week. I don't know. I don't think Josh Gordon's going to play, because I guess he can go out there and run some go routes, but then, I don't know. My
theory on Josh Gordon is that the dude's going to get too stoned to study the playbook anyway, so you might as well just let him go out there and run some routes. Because it's not like he's really going to have learned what you put in front of him.
I don't like that take. Not a fan. And I'm taking the Dolphins plus 6.5.
Guru, how many times have we talked about this, John Durst? You don't go against Tom. I know what happened last week.
I think 6.5 is a lot. And when Phil Dorsett, Cordell Patterson, and Chris Hogan are your wide receivers, there's not much you can do. Also, the Dolphins are tied for second with takeaways on defense. And I think Ryan Tannehill, sneaky good. Not sneaky good. Sneaky good.
Shut your mouth.
Sneaky good.
Okay, so do you remember...
Do you remember the 21st of September?
How much did you hate the internet on September 21st?
I just went to... So I was reading that comic book that I was talking about when you called me, and when I read comic books, I get background music on YouTube, and it's usually relaxing Nintendo music, but one of the suggested things was Wii Shop / 21st of September. It wasn't good, but...
What is that?
It was just the Wii Shop music, but with like the audio track of that song over it.
Oh, Jesus.
It wasn't great. It left a lot to be desired.
People don't know when to stop. People don't know when to stop.
Well, yeah, we started the show talking about Bao Zed. Obviously, they don't know when to stop.
the only reason...
Also, I'll have everybody know that I've come back from the dead. We are now tied 1-1-1, and me taking the Dolphins is an indicator of me taking a lead.
You were never dead.
I'm back from the dead.
You were down one game. okay, so I want to touch back on this Ryan Tannehill thing, because if I remember correctly,
the Dolphins are 10-11 in the last 11 games Tannehill started.
You were high as hell on Ryan Fitzmagic, and the still magic
am.
Is gone.
Still
it's
am.
Gone. The
no.
magic is
Dead,
gone.
No, he threw two bad balls. One ball got tipped. I don't care. He still kept pace with the Steelers' offense. We talk about it all the time where when teams are in, like, the wounded animal game. The Steelers were a wounded animal last night. And, look, I don't care. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the first quarterback to throw for 400 yards in three consecutive games. He's
I
done
know,
in the first three games of the
that.
Season. Ryan Fitzpatrick is still my man. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I like Ryan Tannehill. I like Ryan something else. I don't know any of the Ryans.
You like Ryan Gosling?
Great guy. I have a Ryan Gosling Funko Pop on my desk here. I love La La Land.
Okay, so fine. I'll let your subpar quarterback fly, but do not taint Tom's name.
I think he'll win the game, but 6.5 points is a lot.
Fair enough. I'm going to take the Patriots, though.
You're a fool. You're a damned fool. All right, Houston, we don't have any more time, Ross Dog. Houston, at Indianapolis. Indianapolis is favored by 2. I don't know, man. This game.
Are you the shrug emoji guy?
Right now I am. But J.J. Watt had 3 sacks last week after going like 2 years without a sack.
Oh, man. We had as many sacks as him in the past 2 years.
We've had as many sacks as J.J. Watt in the last 2 days. Suck.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Good point.
I'm going to take J.J. Watt in the Texans. I like Honey Badger is sneaky good for this defense. That's why I'm taking the Texans.
I think Deshaun Watson looks lost.
Yeah, that's fair.
He looks lost. And Andrew Luck, like, he's still stupid, and I hate him, but I don't think he's as lost as Deshaun Watson.
Hashtag analysis. But I think this is a good defense if you're Deshaun Watson to get right against, so that's why I'm taking Houston.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Are you taking the Colts?
Yeah, because it's what? You said 2?
Minus 2.
Yeah, they should win by 3.
They should. They could. Will they? Let's find out Sunday. Hey, the Bengals at Atlanta. Atlanta, 5-point favorite. I told everybody Calvin Ridley is about to break out, and what did he do? 3 touchdowns, 170 yards or whatever. Listen to your guy. I'm trying to help everybody out. That being said,
this is now the fourth time I've heard you pat yourself on the back for the Calvin.
My hand's getting sore. My back is aching in pain.
Do you think he keeps it up?
Yeah, Calvin Ridley. You know, I tweeted and then deleted because I was like, I've gone too far. But I tweeted out something this week saying one of these Ridleys is new to Smash Brothers. The other one's new to your weekly fantasy lineup. I wish I could start both in fantasy, though. And it was Ridley from Metroid and Calvin Ridley. But I decided I went too far. I deleted that one. What do you think about that?
How did you go too far?
I feel like I went way too far. Like, sometimes I flirt with my nerd stuff. But that was like, because, yeah, remember, Metroid's not a very high-selling game. I think people
know
Samus from Super Smash Brothers. They don't know who Ridley is.
Well, and Ridley is a, he's not, when was his last appearance in a Metroid game, too?
Ridley was in the game that came out for 3DS,
Samus Returns.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't in any of the Primes, though.
I always imagined Ridley was a female.
Well, spoiler alert, Ridley killed Samus' parents, right?
We're too deep in the weeds. We need to get... I'm taking true. Atlanta.
I'll join you.
Okay, we're moving on to Buffalo. See, this time Buffalo is traveling to Wisconsin, and they're playing the Packers. They're minus 10, and the Packers are... they don't know. They've never figured out how to tackle Adrian Peterson, the Packers. They couldn't tackle Adrian Peterson when he's on the Orange Skins last week. They never tackled him when he was in Minnesota. I wonder if they can tackle LeSean McCoy. You know, that's a question. Josh Allen, he doesn't care. You know, he's just going to keep throwing. How many roughing the passer penalties will Clay Matthews get? Probably at least one.
Rob, I feel like I feel like they're out to get him now too, which is funny because he's just gonna keep throwing his hands up, wondering what he did wrong.
I like that theory by you that the refs are like conspiring against Clay Matthews at this point. They're like, yeah, he said that we're soft. We'll teach him by throwing more flags. I'm taking the Packers though. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. I'm not gonna.
What's the spread? What's 10. The spread here again?
I don't care though. It could be 20. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
The Bills are falling off of their cloud that they're sitting on right now. There's no way. What would be awesome if they do take down the Packers, the Bears will be sitting real pretty in the NFC North.
As you started that thought, I was thinking that if they take out the Packers, the Bears should send them a Muffet bat or like a muffin basket
yes.
or something.
Yes, they want
like nice flowers,
should.
Edible arrangements, you know, something nice. Detroit is going to Dallas. Dallas is a 3-point favorite, which what?
Please pronounce Detroit Detroit.
Why? What is this? What's this bit that you worked on?
It's French, but I never say Detroit. I always say Detroit.
Is Detroit like a French city? Is there some history
it's
lesson
right
here?
It's right across the street from Toronto.
No, is it?
Yeah.
I've been to Toronto. This is going to be, I don't have a good, like, tragic high school memory for this week, but.
I do. Thank you for sparking my memory. Finish your thought first.
I went to Toronto with Kramer, just out of high school, see Weezer and Blink-182, and I got smashed. I was 18 years old, and I was rip-roaring drunk. You know, I was seeing colors or so, I don't know. And the legal drinking age was 19, which Kramer, who's a year older than us, was. So he was buying me booze. And I'm at the concert, and some security guy asked for my ID because he saw how, you know, drunk I was.
How wasted you were, right?
And also, you remember what I looked like when I was 18. I looked like a 14-year-old. So...
This is true.
I handed him, like, with all the confidence in the world. He asked me for my ID. I handed it to him. He looks at it, like, confused for a while. And then he says, this is an Indian license? And I was like, what? An Indian? So I don't know if he... and also, you know how pale I am, and it was back then. I don't know if he thought I was from India or if it was some Native American license. You know, and he wasn't being very PC. Because it said Indiana, you know, I gave my Indiana state license, and he thought it was Indian.
A Native American reserve.
I have no idea, and then he told me, well, have you been drinking? I was like, yeah, I'm drunk. And then he said, okay, don't drink anymore. If you drink anymore, we'll kick you out. And I said, all right, and then I proceeded to drink the rest of the night.
Well, that security guard really did a good job.
Man, me and Kramer got loaded.
Interestingly enough, my embarrassing high school story has to do with me getting too wasted as well. I know Richard will be listening to this. And
Big Rich.
And I don't know why. You know, like those, just some of those things that like happen to you that are super embarrassing, but like they seem more embarrassing to you because you think everyone else remembers it. But if you look back in hindsight, like maybe 2 out of 20 people remember it, but it doesn't matter because you've already deemed it super embarrassing in your head. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to keep cruising. So,
I'm not here. Just keep going.
Yeah. So like on Fridays, you probably, maybe you even played at one, but the VFW, remember?
This is where my first story took place when I talked about how you, all the popular kids went to Bob Schlegel's house and I wasn't invited.
So this is a different, I was dating Megan Rostowski at the time.
She was a babe.
Thank you.
I'm gonna look
for
her
listeners. I'm not a babe. I am so not. But anyways.
No, yeah, David is definitely dating outside of his league.
I've for since high school, I've somehow dated outside of my league, and I 100% attribute it to my stunning and over-the-top, very funny personality.
So, I haven't been with many women. You can attest to this. But, and maybe you'll back me up here, I feel like all the women I have been with have been way out of my league.
You know what? Maybe that's just a thing for, like, us kind of guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we're so charming and funny, we can date, like, 1.5 levels up on the 1 to 10 spectrum.
I mean, I'm going back in my Rolodex of all the women I remember you dating. I think we're onto something here.
See? Okay, so back to the story. We go, and Richard is playing that night, just some, like, you know, whatever songs. It was just, like, fun. It was just what we did on Friday. So Richard tells me ahead of time that he's going to play the party song by Blink-182.
This was the same night. Yeah, but keep going.
Are you sure this was the same night?
I remember you standing up there.
Hammered.
And, like, you had a cell phone in your hand, and you were slowly reading the lyrics to this song. And the whole point of the party song by Blink-182 is that Mark Hoppus says the words incredibly fast.
Incredibly fast, yeah.
And you were going, so, we went to a party, my friends were drunk there.
So back to the story, what happened was, yes, I knew all the lyrics. And the reason this sparked my memory was because I was listening to Enema of the State today. Great. And I listened to the party song, and like, oh yeah, I know all the lyrics to this song. And then this terribly embarrassing moment came back flooding into my brain, where Richard told me earlier in the night, like, hey man, you know, like, I learned how to play the party song on guitar. Will you sing it up there while I play? I was like, oh yeah, sure. And then as the moment drew closer, I immediately was like, I totally don't want to do this. I definitely am not going to do this. So I proceeded to get drunk because somehow that's going to make the situation better. So I ended up drinking a half a bottle of Bacardi as a fucking 18-year-old. I went up there and I got so drunk that I read the lyrics off of a cell phone, and pretty much it was all slow motion. So that was cool. But very, very embarrassing, and I will never forget it. So,
and I'll let you know, we all remember. So don't worry about us forgetting. We all remember. I'm taking Detroit +3.
Just
20 minutes later.
I forgot where Detroit's going.
To Dallas. They're playing in Dallas.
Yeah, you know what? I think they're onto something too. I think Detroit's got something figured out.
The New York Jets traveling to Jacksonville. This was a contender for hottest game of the week, by the way. Jacksonville's a 7.5-point favorite. This game, Blake Bortles, should he ever be a 7.5-point favorite? Sam Darnold's kind of getting thrown to the wolves.
No, because he didn't throw for a damn touchdown. I'm pissed off at Blake. I'm pissed off.
Why?
Because how can you not throw one touchdown, man? One touchdown. That's all he needed to do.
All right.
He can't even do that, man. Come on. You're right. You're right, John. I'm done. I'm done with Blake Bortles.
This is where I was emotionally like a month ago. I'm pretty, I don't know, I don't care anymore.
I don't know. I'm happy that, you know, you've overcome your angst for him, but I've not.
Who would you pick hypothetically in this game? But not hypothetically. Who are you picking?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem. It seems so like make
a, do, it, we can make a pact. Spread. We want to make a pact right here, and neither you one of us will pick this game.
Deal.
Let's pretend like it's not happening. Let's not even.
That's cool. Okay.
Tampa Bay traveling to Chicago, where Chicago's a 3-point favorite. This was a surprise to Ross Dog that his home team was a 3-point favorite. I'm still in love with Fitzmagic. I'm all in on these Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think, I don't know, I talked to Chris Wessling about this in the beginning of the show. I think that Mitch Trubisky has fear in his eyes. Nothing new to our listeners, me talking about that. And gone to my head, which one of these quarterbacks do I want on Sunday? I want Fitzmagic, baby.
You're stupid.
Why am I stupid? Dude, I watched the Cardinals-Bears game right before you got on. That's what I did in the afternoon today. I watched that game, and Mitch Trubisky is missing open throws. Allen Robinson, that poor guy, he's gone from Blake Bortles to Mitch Trubisky. Dude, you know, Khalil Mack isn't the highest-ranked guy on PFF. It's Akeem Hicks, who sits right next to him on the defense. I thought that was pretty interesting. I put all my chips on the table that Adrian Amos was going to be the safety to watch in Chicago. Maybe that will pan out, but right now, Eddie Jackson's killing it. Man, he almost, if they didn't have, what was that, a holding call? Dude, we had money on Chicago, which I'm never betting on Chicago ever again until they get rid of Mitch Trubisky, because I'm done. But Eddie Jackson almost had that pick six that would have covered for us. That would have been magical.
I know, I jumped up from the couch and screamed, and then stayed standing up, cursing the TV, because there just had to be a holding call. Of course. You know, it was literally too good to be true. Why did I even let myself get excited?
The best part about it is that, like, I first saw Josh Rosen coming in and throwing the pick six.
And throwing the pick six, yeah.
Like, I texted you and said, like, this is what we need to happen to win. Like, that's it's our only way. It's our only chance of covering.
It was
Josh Rosen coming in and throwing a pick six. And, like, it happened. It just, there was a penalty. So, you're taking the Bears, guys?
Yeah.
All right.
I think you're silly not to. I hear what you have to say about Fitzpatrick, but he's going to get eaten alive, man. I mean,
maybe
that defense. That defense is
as somebody who loves Fitzpatrick, I really wanted Winston to come in and start this week just so he would throw six picks.
Oh yeah, is he not? He's like ready to go though, right?
Yeah, he's off his suspension. Dirk Cotter hasn't said anything. We talked a lot about Jamie.
What did he get suspended for?
He sexually assaulted an Uber driver.
What an idiot!
You know, as our president said this week, not the response I expected, but okay.
Okay.
He also said that. So did you see that? We won't get into that.
It was very, very funny.
Philadelphia travels to Tennessee. I'm not sure who's playing quarterback for Tennessee, but Blaine Gabbert got hurt and Marcus Mariota can't feel his right hand. I do like Tennessee's defense, but I like Carson Wentz more. Leslie Woodyard's having a good year. Both their safeties, Byard's having a good year, Logan Ryan. I'm just listing guys off, but their quarterback can't feel their right hand, which seems important to me, to have feeling in your throwing hand. I mean, Carson Wentz was a mixed bag last week, but I'll take him this week. 4 in favor of the road Eagles. I'm taking the road Eagles.
I think they win by like 6 or 7. Probably.
All right. I'll put you down for the Eagles then. I'm excited to talk about this next game. That's your no. We're doing locks of the month, and you already did your lock, so you have to wait till October.
Dang it. Okay.
I'm excited to talk about this game. My Seahawks are favored in Arizona by 3. Can I lay something out for you? I'm going to lay this out. The Seahawks won this past week, so they're 1-2.
Yeah.
Let's say they beat Arizona, 2-2. Then they have the Rams.
Which they lose, so 2-3.
No, but let's say they win that game. You know, Talib is out. Maybe they don't take Seattle seriously. Maybe Seattle just squeaks it out, whatever. They would be 3-2, undefeated at home, and 2-0 in their division. That's a playoff team.
You're delusional.
Yeah, I might be. I might be delusional.
What is that from the Wedding Singer where the little kid goes up to him? He's like, "You're delusional."
That's me, everybody. I'm taking the Seahawks -3. Hey, I'll tell you what, though. They finally figured out that Chris Carson's the guy in Seattle. It took him a year and a half or whatever. But finally, my guy Chris Carson's getting respect. And I don't know. Josh Rosen, maybe great. I don't care. The Seattle Seahawks tied for second in takeaways on defense. Earl Thomas might not be practicing, but he doesn't need to practice. He's going to take the ball away from Josh Rosen. McDougal's sneakily great at safety. I was talking about their secondary at the beginning of the year, and you should have been listening because I was right. Pat myself on the back.
Well, I'm just happy that the Seahawks won a game because I don't want Chandra's to be sad.
This podcast has to be a lot more fun for you when I'm happy and the Seahawks are winning.
I beg to differ, but you know.
You creep. I'm putting you down for the Seahawks -3. Baker Mayfield travels to Oakland, where he will be the better quarterback in that matchup against Derek Carr. Oh! I love the way that the ball bounces off. Like, it like bounces off of Baker Mayfield's hand when he throws it. It's a thing of beauty. Oakland's a 2.5-point favorite. Yeah, Cleveland has the best defense in the league. They have the most takeaways. And Derek Carr loves to give the ball away. So, Simon, this isn't even a question to me. Give me Cleveland.
Yeah, why are the Raiders favored? Is it because they figured out how to sneak out a win last week?
Khalil Mack has 6 sacks, I think. No. He has, I don't know. The Raiders have one more pressure than Khalil Mack has sacks all year. Pressures. The Raiders are bad. San Francisco and C.J. Beathard are 10.5-point. That's not right. The Los Angeles Chargers are 10.5-point favorites against C.J. Beathard.
I looked at that. Which way is it?
It has to be. Right? I can double check, but it has to be the Chargers are 10.5-point favorites. I think
there are as many point favorites almost as Philip Rivers has kids.
Almost, and I'm gonna take. I want to buy in on the Chargers. I love Phil Rivers, Keenan Allen. I love a lot of what they got going on there, but I've seen them shoot themselves in the foot too many times, so I think 10.5 points is too many. But it's the San Francisco 49ers. Screw what I just said. I'm taking the Chargers. I'm buying in. One last time. One last ride.
I think I'll buy in, too, mostly because I am a witch doctor. Who willed Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, stop there! Stop there! Stop there! Stop there! We're not doing that. Stop that. Okay, let's just say me and Ross Dog did have some money on the Chiefs, but that's it. That's it. That's all we're gonna say. You know where they have witch doctors in New Orleans, and New Orleans is traveling to New York to play the Giants. Can you imagine Saints fighting Giants? Wild. Saints are 3.5
I don't know.
Favorites.
That was a wild segue. That was really something special to be a part of.
You know, it's a great segue because all great segues are immediately killed by someone saying it's a great segue.
Someone saying great segue. Yeah. So I'm taking the Saints faux show because
Michael Thomas, Kamara.
Here we go. Two more names.
Max Unger.
Drew Brees.
I bet the listeners at home didn't think I was going to name the center. I need to work on that. Also, so I was talking about, I don't know if I said it on mic or if it was off mic, but I was talking about watching South Park with you earlier. And they were doing the Simpsons Did It episode. I was watching that. And I think, so I listened to our podcasts. The last two that we did, and I call you man like once every other sentence. And when Stan is playing Bart, he calls everybody man. And I think that's why I call everybody man, because I grew up watching The Simpsons and thinking Bart Simpson was cool. So I call everybody man.
I don't know. I like, you know what I've been saying a lot lately is bud or pal.
See, those are good. I'm not your buddy, pal. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, I fall in the same boat where it's like, oh, yeah, it's all good, man. But you got to switch it up every once in a while, you know? So, like, bud and pal are good ones, too. You know, maybe you can try those out.
I love Odell Beckham. Drew Brees outside. I'm taking Drew Brees, though. I don't care.
Yeah. What's the over in this game?
I don't know. I could look it up. Look it up, Jonders. Look it up. Look it up,
If it's anything under, like, 46.
I bet this. I bet it's an under game. It is 50.5.
Yeah, it's an under. Damn it.
Yep, told you. Which unders are no fun to bet, so you never do it. Hey.
Boom. Yeah, you're right.
This game, fun fact about Baltimore traveling to Pittsburgh. In the history of this rivalry, it has always been -3 the home team, and that's what it is today.
Wow.
Yeah, always. It has never once been anything but -3 the home team.
Really?
Yes. That's what I'm saying to you right now, is that it's always been, and always will be, -3 the home team. I don't like this bit that I'm doing. It's obviously been different things. No.
I like it. I think you should.
I should have committed saying, more to the bit.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. I think the fact that you waver from it even a little bit, it makes me a little upset. But no, I'm in.
At some point, they'll play again this season, and I bet the home team will be -3, and I'll do the bit again. We'll see how it works in however many weeks. I don't know when they play again.
That's gonna be really cool.
See, listeners, you got to make sure you subscribe, because at some point I'm going to do this bit again. And you can tell all your friends, oh, he's going to do the bit. You got to listen. He's going to do the bit. Okay.
Pittsburgh is dead.
Whoa!
They're dead.
Yeah, I agree. They scored 0 points in the second half against Tampa Bay, whose defense is lackluster. Also, they wouldn't have won that game without a pick six. So, you know. Oh, give me Baltimore. You know I love all those wide receivers in Baltimore.
Name them all.
You got Willie Snead. I kind of do my Damashek impression when I list things, so I know people call me a fake Damashek on Twitter, and it hurts my feelings, but, you know, what are you going to do? Willie Snead.
Is that a compliment? Or
I take it as a compliment, because as I've said on one of the best of shows, that Damashek is kind of my North Star when it comes to podcasting. So
there you go. See? Compliment.
Willie Snead, Michael Crabtree.
You know, instead of saying a fake, maybe they can just call you a poor man. You know? Like, that's a little bit nicer,
that's
right?
Those negative connotations. I think it would be like an up-and-coming Damashek would be a compliment.
Well, that's giving you way too much credit.
You creep. That's another thing Damashek does a lot, is call people creeps. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, you called me a creep 3 times today already. Only twice here.
Oh, yeah. I called you that in a text because you were talking ill of my boy, Fitzmagic. Hey, do you know what it's time for?
No, I don't.
Public domain. Public domain. This game is public domain. The Kansas City Chiefs are 5-point favorites against their rival Denver Broncos. Patrick Mahomes is a space alien. Tyreek Hill has gone off this season. Case Keenum, he's going to keep throwing the ball. Phillip Lindsay, he's going to punch somebody in the mouth. So take a look at that. Andy Reid. This game is in Mile High.
Yeah, okay.
You know what? I'm all in on Andy Reid. I don't care anymore.
I have a question.
Please.
Are the Broncos good?
No. They beat the Seahawks in week 1 because they're creeps. No. They lost to the Ravens last week. Who did they beat in week 2?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But
I knew they started off 2-0.
I think they got kind of lucky against the Seahawks and their secondary. Case Keenum kept throwing, which is what you have to do. I'm not saying this as a Seahawks fan, but I think they did get lucky with there's a thing that happens in the NFL now where they call everything a touchdown because then it'll be reviewed. But then when it's reviewed, it has to have overwhelming evidence for it to get overturned.
Right, right,
I'm saying the Seahawks, as a Seahawks fan, I'm saying they should play better than, you know, they did. You know, you can't let things like that determine the game. But as a objective, third party guy, I'm saying, like, I think Denver got kind of lucky there. Is that fair? Are people going to call me a homer?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, that's fair.
Because, like, it's on Seattle that they lost, but Denver might have gotten a little lucky. So, yeah, I'm all in on Patrick Mahomes. You know, I'm high. Hey, you know, I have a good nickname.
High.
I'm high on Patrick Mahomes. I have a nickname for the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
The Kansas City Barbecue Buffet. Because everybody's going to eat, and they're going to eat twice.
Wow.
You don't like it.
I think, yeah, take it back to the lab. Just rework it a little bit. And then I think by the time that you come out, blood, sweat, and tears into that nickname, it's going to be something great. But yeah, it's not where it needs to be right this very second.
You're taking Andy Reid, right?
Duh.
Okay. That's the podcast. Thank you once again to Chris Wessling for coming on. Next week, as I mentioned in the interview with Chris Wessling, New York Times bestselling author Jeff Perlman will be on the show. We'll talk about his book, Football for a Buck, all about the USFL and how Donald Trump ruined it. And, yeah, that's
Ooh, the... Can I butt in and say something about Andy Reid? It's Andy Reid related. So, I will say, I love Matt Nagy as a coach in Chicago. He's the best since Lovie Smith. I think Lovie Smith got shit on. No offense, you know. It's the way the cookie crumbles. But
got fired after a 10-win season. It's ridiculous.
It was hilarious to see Matt Nagy directly learned his time management skills from Andy Reid by calling that timeout before he kicked that field goal.
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
It was ridiculous.
You know what? I just watched that Bears game, and one of my notes was, what happened to the fun offense that we saw in the first half of the first week of the season? Like, what happened to all the creativity? I mean, they're more creative than, like, Seattle, who runs a very bland offense, but, like, they're not at the forefront like Kansas City. Remember week one when they were doing all that crazy shit?
Yeah, the Bears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, now it's just, like, another offense where it's, like, they are doing, like, more... Like, a lot of the NFL is doing the stuff they're doing. Like, they're not at the forefront. Like, you would have thought they were, like, based on the first 6 minutes of the Packers game.
So, I think that they're even more afraid of Trubisky than we are. Because...
That makes sense.
He's bad. Like he's not a good quarterback right now. Maybe something will change, but if you see that dude playing the way he is, you want to do everything possible to not run crazy offensive plays because it gives more opportunity for him to screw something up. So that's my take on that.
That seems like a fair point. Okay, follow me at JohnDersFPT. Follow RossDog at RossDogFPT on Twitter. Go to ForwardPassThinking.com. There's always fun stuff up there. You know, fun enough. And all these episodes are up on YouTube. I'm not sure why nobody ever listens to them on YouTube. RossDog, do you have any final words? Before I murder you.
Murder me how?
With a knife in your face.
Good thing this is recorded. I will have overwhelming evidence in court to put you in jail forever.
Your lovely bride, your wife, is paying me to do this.
To kill me?
Yeah, so now she's going down.
That's how evidence works. I wouldn't be surprised. She thinks I talk too much. So
we talked for a while. This is one of our longer segments. We're at 41 minutes.
Yeah, you know, we told some stories and stuff. So
yeah, we had a good time. All right. On Wednesday, or no, this is Wednesday's show. On Friday's show, Kyle Windhorn and I will talk about Thursday Night Football and go over everything that will happen on Sunday. But then on Monday, me and Ryan McGinley will talk about everything that happened on Sunday. And then on Wednesday, me and Jeff Perlman will talk about USFL. All right. Bye, everybody.